St. Paul Mayor Melvin Carter shared updates on the state of the city in his address to the city, and he talked about a number of things, and he joins us this morning on KMLJ. And I want to start off, Your Honor, with the investments that you talked about making in public safety. How will that play into bringing people back to downtown St. Paul? Good morning.
Good morning, T. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. You know, one of the things that I hear all the time, that public safety, a safe community, is the foundation, it's the bedrock for every other ambition that we have. If we want to send kids to college, if we want people to be able to buy a home or succeed in community, create wealth, you know, all of those things start with this confidence that we can be safe in our own neighborhood. That's been built around this concept that you and I have discussed before, our community first public safety framework, that says it's not good enough to just be ready to race to the scene and respond to an emergency after something terrible has happened. When we think about keeping people who we love safe, we think about how we safeguard a community, how we safeguard a home, how we safeguard our yard, to make sure that our seniors, that our children, that our families, we reduce the likelihood that something terrible will happen. So that's a lot of the work that we've done through our Office of Neighborhood Safety. We're doing in partnership with our fire department and our police department, and really all of our teams working together to produce public safety. And we do think that that's going to be really critical as we think about people kind of returning to downtown. People aren't going to come back downtown because they have to, because their employers are going to make them or something along those lines. COVID changed the way people work so much that the way we bring people back down is by making it a vibrant, thriving, safe, and exciting place to be.
Interesting, everyone. We're talking with St. Paul Mayor Melvin Carter. And speaking of bringing people down to work or back downtown in a safe environment, you also talked about converting the City Hall annex, converting it into apartments, and to move workers about the city in replacement to get other people back downtown. What does that plan look like, and when do you expect that to unfold?
You know, it's not even a plan yet. It's just something we have to consider. You know, one of the things that I shared is, you know, as we think about the future that we want, you know, we can't improve and stay the same at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, that notion of considering selling, it's called our City Hall Annex, that the city has had, that has housed city staffers for a very long time, that I think in the summer of 2000 or 2001, I did an internship in that building. It's really strange and a big change to even think about selling that building. But look, we're in a strange and really big time right now that is going to demand us being willing to think differently about all the same stuff that we've had to think about in the past. And so it's certainly something that's on the table. It's something we're talking to our staff about. It's something we're talking to our downtown partners about, is saying, would it make sense to take this building that currently historically has housed a bunch of city departments, sell that and transition it to housing, affordable housing for our community, in a way that gives us an opportunity to move those offices into the kind of skyway and street level, and so that our workers are contributing to the street level vitality of the city as well. It's something we're thinking about, but we're certainly eager to help facilitate transitions of office buildings to residential buildings in our city. I think that's going to be one of the keys to success for every downtown.
Interesting. You're talking about moving the workers from the traditional buildings, but you're also talking about making it easier for people who want to join the city ranks to do so. Talk about that a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. I'm really excited about this, Freddie. You know, I've told you every time we've had an interview, I've told you that my job is to think through how every single resource that the city has can be leveraged for the benefit of to just make life a little bit easier for our residents and our businesses. But one of the biggest things that we spend our dollars on every 2 weeks is the payroll. So one of the things that my staff and I have been working on is, how do we make sure there's not a week that goes by I can't go to the grocery store about some mom looking at me and say, hey, my son needs a job, right? And my answer is sometimes, hey, well, does he have a master's degree in applied library sciences, or does he have a master's degree in urban and regional planning? And they never do. That's not who she's talking about. Mm-hmm. And so one of our goals is to say, how do we make sure that city employment is accessible for the people who live in this city? That means doubling down on youth jobs, which we are doing. That means eliminating degree requirements for 90% of city job titles, which I directed our human resources department to do now. And that means creating those kind of pathways so that people can come and get city employment and work for the city while they're gaining whatever credential they need to work for the city, whether that's an EMT certification or a commercial driver's license or, you know, something along those lines. We want to make sure that the whole city as an enterprise, that we are providing workforce opportunities in ways that help to realize that enormous potential that we believe exists in our residents already.
When you say that, it makes me think about my great-grandmother who says, you need a good job. A good job when she was talking with me. And I would imagine that working for the city of St. Paul is, quote, a good job, Your Honor.
It's a good job. It's a job with a good wage. It's a job with benefits and health care and dental and a pension. Like, that's the type of thing that people in our community. And listen, we appreciate the folks who commute into our community to help be a part of the solution. They're helpful. And as we think about the pathway moving forward, like I said, the whole reason the city as a entity exists, the city of St. Paul exists as an entity, is to benefit those residents. So to me, making sure those jobs are accessible, making sure, you and I talked about the $1 billion sales tax we just passed to help us rebuild our roads and our infrastructure. And so when those jobs are available, we want them to be available to our residents. So one of the things I also announced is that we're moving down the road of what we call a value-based contracting system that says when you as a business put in a bid for a contract for a city contract, we're going to look at, do you exist? Do you have a physical presence in this city? Do you pay property taxes in this city? Mm-hmm. Do you hire residents in this city? Do you create internship opportunities for young people in this city? And if the answers are yes, then you'll have an advantage. You'll have bonus points in our contracting process because we want to invest in the folks who are invested in us.
Wow. You talked about infrastructure just briefly there. And you have a program where you're debuting is something called the Common Sense Medallion. Talk about how that works and why that's important to the citizens of St. Paul.
Yes, so Common Sense is what we've named that sales tax that our voters passed last year. Mm-hmm. It is no secret that our infrastructure has been tired for a very long time. It's tired because we haven't invested in it. It's tired because, and as I shared with folks, while we know that when we rebuild a street, it has a 60-year expected lifespan, when I came in office, we inherited our streets on a 124-year replacement cycle. Right. One of the streets we're going to rebuild is Summit Avenue in St. Paul. The last time Summit Avenue was built was over 100 years ago, when car ownership in this country was at 3%, was just under 3%. And so we have to be willing to invest in our community. And, you know, to me, some of those things that I just said are so common sense that we said, well, listen, the solution is taking our common sense one penny at a time and putting them together to create this $1 billion fund over the next 20 years that's going to allow us to rebuild our streets, to rebuild city, you know, our parks and rec facilities, our city buildings and bike and pedestrian infrastructure and things like that for the next generation.
Well, and speaking of rebuilding, I thought it was really interesting about this public-private partnership to revitalize or maybe even facelift the XL Energy Center.
Yeah. Now, the XL, everybody's been to the X. You know, we just had the girls' state basketball tournament there. You know, we have, you know, hockey games and concerts and rodeos, naturalization ceremonies where people get their citizenship and things like that. The building is, you know, when we do a building like that, whether when we did the Vikings stadium, we did the Twins, when we do those arenas, we expect them to have a 25-year expected lifespan. We are in year 24 right now, which means we're due for something. Now, the great thing is the Wild, who are our anchor tenants there, we have 130 events there a year or so. About 44 of them are home Wild games, but they're our anchor tenant there. They're taking really good care of the building. So while the building is sort of at the end of its competitive lifespan, it's the structure of it, the bones of the building, I'll say, are still good. They still have a lot of future in front of them. And so it gives us the opportunity to not say, how do we, you know, tear it down and build something new from scratch? But we have an opportunity to renovate it. And by the way, Freddie, when I say it's, you know, 24 years old, That means not only was it designed and built before COVID changed the way that we think about how people can gather safely in groups, it was designed and built before 9/11 changed the way we understand how people can gather safely in groups. So it's really two generations old from a safety and security perspective, and really needs the type of refresh that we're looking for. So we're asking the state this in this legislative session for $2 million to just help us with the planning. And we anticipate probably the next session or the one after that coming back with a much larger ask to say, here's how we can renovate this space to make it safe, to make it accessible, to make it enjoyable together.
We could do an entire half an hour show talking with you about all the innovations that and the vision you have for St. Paul. But I want to wind up with a question about sending students to college, their post-secondary education. Talk about that as we have to wind up our conversation this morning.
Well, that's our most exciting thing. You and I have talked about this before. College Bound St. Paul in St. Paul is exciting for us. It's this vision that we can take and we can start every child in our city, born in our city, with $50 in a college savings account. We started that as of January 1st, 2020. Since that time, made over $3 million in deposits into children's college savings accounts, and that's growing every day, obviously, because young people are added to our community every day. Research shows that children from low and moderate income families who graduate from high school with literally more than $1 set aside for college. It doesn't have to be $30,000 or $300,000. Children who graduate from high school with literally more than $1 set aside for college are three times more likely to go to college. And what it tells us is that there's a premium, there's a return that we get just by believing in our children enough to invest in them. And that creates the framework for everything that we do. I told our community in my speech last week, we have to be all in. That means we're believing, it means we're investing in, that means we're recognizing the potential in the future, and particularly some of the folks that everybody else has bet against, that we're going to build our city by betting on them.
Mayor Carter, what is the state of St. Paul?
It's strong and growing, baby.
All right.
Thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure. Thanks for being with us this morning on KMLJ.